Welcome to Life with Beth and Court, where life is always interesting.
We sold everything to live on the road full time,
despite having zero experience.
Now we bring you lessons, laughs, and stories from the road.
Buckle in for an entertaining ride. Welcome back to another episode of Life with Beth and Court. I'm Beth.
I'm Court.
And today we are talking about 21 things we learned in 2021.
Dun, dun, dun. I would love to take credit for that being our original idea, but it is not.
It's not.
It came from a podcast I was listening to a couple of days ago by Haley Hoffman, and she is like on a very different level of advice compared to us. So I thought, oh, this was a cool idea, but I don't want to copy her. And then I listened to her advice and I was like, oh, ours will probably be nothing like this. So I feel fine borrowing the idea.
I'm very curious to know what that actually means.
Well, I sent it to you, so if you'd listen to it, you
would
know. Via text message.
Sweetheart, do you know how many things you send me via text message?
Yeah. Okay, but I literally said, babe, this is a really great episode. I'm going to share it with you. Like, I gave you a warning that it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you chose 10 things. I chose 11, and we have not shared them with each other, which these are my favorite type of podcast to do when we have no idea what is going to come out of the other's mouth. So,
yeah,
let's get through these. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I want you to start.
Okay.
I have no idea, like, if we were going serious, if we were going goofy. I have no idea what's going to come out of your mouth.
That's the best part. Okay, so 10 lessons learned in 2021. One, it's okay to let go of what no longer serves you.
Ooh.
By that, I mean people, things, apps, bad habits. I think I have realized this year that I have known for a really long time when I've needed to let things go that don't serve me, but I hold on to them for whatever reason. And so I started letting them go this year. And not only is it okay, it just feels so much better for me. So I think it's a really good thing I want to carry forward.
Okay. Okay. Thing number 1.5.
Just say 2. It's going to get bad.
1.5, because this is not an actual thing.
Great.
Geese are really fucking loud.
Can you hear it in the headphones?
I don't think so, but my oh my, can I hear it in real life?
I think they're about to migrate. I googled it the other day because they were so loud and crazy and all hissing at each other and flapping their wings, and it said that sometimes when they're ready to move south, that's their behavior.
How do they know which direction is south?
I don't know.
Very confusing. I need to look that up later. Okay, so my number one thing is we can survive hard things. As we know, the years of COVID have been very tough on a lot of people. All of us have been affected by it in one way or another. We've lost loved ones. We have been affected financially. We've been affected socially, emotionally. All sorts of things have...
Physically.
Physically. The past 2 years have just been an absolute shit show. But it also, like, in the midst of chaos, has shown how resilient humans can be. And we come together in pretty incredible ways when we need to survive something like this.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that we're going into year three. Like, I saw something online the other day that said going into year three of a global pandemic. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it feels so recent and so far away at the same time. So
yeah,
that's a good one. So I'm going to change my number so we don't confuse our listeners. So yours was actually number 2. This will now be number 3.
Got it.
We're doing 21 things.
Right.
So number 3, it's okay to explore your values and change/reprioritize them.
Fun.
Which is big coming from me because I'm very stubborn. And I used to pride myself on that. But then I realized that there is a little bit of an arrogance to being stubborn within certain context. And so some of the beliefs that I've held in years previous, I'm not sure I actually believe anymore and or value. And I think just giving yourself permission to know that it's okay to explore those things and that they might not be forever. Because I think when we get stuck in our values, like, it's a catch-22. So it's good to represent your values and stand behind them. But if you're standing behind empty values that don't mean anything to you anymore, and you're just doing it because it's what you've always known, that's a little arrogant. And so that's something that I learned this year, that it's okay to change your values or reprioritize them.
I will star that.
Star.
Star.
Okay.
Because I think you and I have both gone on pretty significant journeys exploring our beliefs and and kind of examining where we came from and where we're going.
Yeah, and I think that felt shameful and uncomfortable for a minute, but that's just because that's how society makes you feel. I don't know, or maybe we put that restriction on ourselves. So,
excellent. Number four, if you keep track, there's a lot of good things that happen.
Yeah.
So we started this as kind of a joke when we saw a TikTok of someone singing Ching 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 Goes the Money Tree. So we started listening to a version by, how do you actually say it? Niche Nasty. I think Google says Nine Nasty because it can't read the dollar sign.
We're not really sure.
Whatever. Niche Nasty. So we started listening to Ching 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 Goes the Money Tree. At first it was kind of a joke, but then it was a really catchy song. And then we were like, we should start keeping track of cool things that happen. And since we started keeping track, I think at the beginning of October or mid-October, we've had an additional unplanned $1,800 come in. We've saved about $500. And part of me is like, is it because we sang a silly song that goes ching, ching, ching goes the money tree? Or is it because we finally focused on the good things that are happening and, you know, focused on what we were hoping to happen and actually writing it down? Because there's so much, as we know today, I mean, we just went through our wins for 2021 and it took us so long.
I don't even think we finished because I was like, this is
yeah,
hard.
We got bored and went on a walk. But typically, we don't make a habit of writing down good things that happen. So I think it's just more the practice of being mindful of the good things that are happening around you.
Manifest your dreams and get it all right back. I said, manifest your dreams and get it all right back. That's
yes.
Part of the song.
That is an excerpt from the one and only Ching Ching Ching.
So your number four actually transitions into my number. I had to reorder them. So number five for me is manifesting works. And so Ching Ching Money Tree was an example, but there were some things this year that I wrote down in my bullet journal. And I looked back and I was like, that was really strange that happened. Or like I had these weird dreams that like didn't make sense. But then when I dug into them, I was like, oh, this situation's going to be okay. And so for me, this year has been about exploring like energy and manifesting. And I still have a very long ways to go, but I've seen enough that I'm like, okay, so this actually does work. And what you put out in the universe like comes back in a certain way. So that was that piggybacks Ching Ching. So
ching,
that was
ching,
number
ching
five.
Goes the money tree. All right, so where are we at now?
You're number six.
Number six, getting proximate can be a cure to our apathy.
Ooh, that's a big one. I star that with the biggest star.
I star that with the biggest star. So what I mean by that is, you know, when we stay stationary, we stay in the same town around the same people, you know, that you go to the same places, you have the same traditions. Everything is sameness, right? And you get used to what's around you. But in the past 2 years, as you all know, we uprooted that and we started going to different places and meeting different people and experiencing different cultures and going to places we had never been before and kind of just experiencing the world, I guess, like as a child would, really. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we learned it theoretically that when you get proximate, you know, you can understand other people and where they're coming from a bit more. But I think in the past year, we've really gotten to experience that where, you know, you and I have been to some very rural towns in the country that we would have never gone to if we lived in Traverse City, Michigan still, because no one would book a trip on purpose to Arley, Alabama. Oof. No offense to anyone who lives there. But like, so we've seen some of the smaller towns across America as we've made our way to different places. And yes, of course, we've seen some really amazing places too that a lot of people see, you know, like the Badlands and the, you know, the mountains in Colorado and Pikes Peak and all of that stuff. So we've seen some of the big attractions, but we've also along the way we've stopped in these smaller towns and we've kind of gotten to experience life through someone else's lenses. And that's, you know, really refreshing. Whether it's somewhere we would want to stay or not, it's kind of beside the point, right? Like, it's, we got to experience it, and that that brings you a little bit closer to, okay, I could understand why you would think this, because if this is your life here, I get why this would be important to you versus what's important to me.
That's a really good one. I'm kind of bummed I didn't think of it. Good job. Number 7, people will assume things about you and that is not your burden to carry.
Oof-da.
Yeah. So that one came from a comment I received recently that was wicked jagged hurtful to me. I think it was actually like a misunderstanding, like a miscommunication. But this person said to me, I was hoping to talk to like the real Courtney, not the social media Courtney. And I was deeply offended because one of the things I pride myself on is like being authentic always. So like if you talk to me on social, it's going to be the same. If you talk to like phone, text, whatever, in person. And so it just like cut me open for a minute. And normally I would have like gone down this deep rabbit hole with it. But I really just reminded myself like, people are always going to think shit about you.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how perfect you are. Like, people are always, always, always going to assume shit. And that's not my responsibility to carry that. Like, right. That's not my burden. I know I'm authentic. I know I work really hard. And some people might not understand content creation as that it's an actual job. But so before I would have just spiraled, and this time I just really paused and I said, wow, that was really fucking hurtful. And I expressed that because I stand in my truth compassionately. But then I remembered like, this is always going to be a thing. Like if it's not this person, it's going to be someone else. And that's not my burden to carry.
Yep.
And I choose not to.
Number 8, learning keeps life incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
So we've kind of touched on this a little bit. You named it as beliefs, but there have been certain topics that you and I have started to dig into this past year that just, it just gives this new pursuit for us intellectually, right? So like, it's not about like the, yes, there is one component where we're going and exploring and experiencing these different places and these different people, but then there's also like intellectually and emotionally exploring different topics. And I think you and I have gotten fascinated with a couple different topics that have really just, it's one of those things where, you know, when your mind has a moment to just settle and think about things, it comes back to these certain topics. And I think you and I have really enjoyed exploring new topics and expanding our horizons, and even honestly just like learning how we can be better. And that just provides this like excitement around learning new topics.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I love about both of us is we've always had a growth mindset. And honestly, as you were just sharing that, I thought back to your point of proximity. And I wonder if proximity to different places, people, locations has kind of opened that door even further. Like, I wonder if we would have branched out in the ways that we have if we didn't leave home. Maybe we would have. I don't know. But it's just an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9. Doing the shit we hate really does make us feel better.
Wait, what?
Doing the shit we hate really does make us feel better. So drinking water, eating good food, meditating, yoga. Like, this is probably the first year that I didn't do it all year, but I've the most consistent I've been with like a morning routine. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much until I get into like day 3 of the flow of it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I feel really good. And like, I'm less irritable. And so I finally just had to like have a talk with stubborn, rebellious Courtney, not my inner child, maybe my inner teenager, my 20-year-old Courtney, I'm not really sure, and say, look, I know you hate this shit and I know it takes a lot of time, but you feel so much better when you do it. So we're just going to do it. And instead of operating from a place of, do I want to do this or not? It just became, we're doing this. And there are still days where I don't get it perfect, but like I'm in more of the do it zone than I was before.
My number, what are we at? Number 10?
Yep.
My number 10 actually feeds into that. And that is, if you want something, it's possible to get it with discipline.
Ooh.
So yes, it takes a lot of discipline to take care of your health, and I think you and I struggle with things like drinking water, even though it's so simple. And yet I don't want to.
We go through phases where we're both like really good about it. And then I'll be like, did you drink water in the past 3 days?
And I'm like, yes, really. 4 ounces collectively over 3 days. So yes, you can do anything you want really with the discipline. And I think I'm on day 21 of a program, of a workout program right now. And it feels good to do that. I haven't held myself accountable to a workout program in a really long time. I kind of just like bounced around to the workouts that I wanted to do. And this time I actually followed the program. We got a little off track on the eating because Christmas happened.
I was going to say I made it today. I think I made it 12 days consecutively working out, 10 to 12. Eating fell off around day 14. And you were like, well, to be fair, you did just try to do this like right before the holidays. And I was like, that's true. So I'm still like monitoring my portions, but I'm not following like the program.
But I will say that you and I, when we want something, we do have the ability to get extremely disciplined. And I think the past month has really been a reminder of that. And I'm kind of excited to take that energy and that reminder into 2022.
Me too. Okay, number 11. Operating out of a scarcity mindset will keep you stuck.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think I've talked about this before, maybe not, but I've struggled with a scarcity mindset for a really long time. Like, I think it comes from childhood, and it's with everything, but like especially financially. And when I was listening to this podcast the other day, you know, when you hear something like 12 times, but then you hear it that one time and you're like, oh, and she said like, you have to spend your money expecting that it will come back tenfold. And she's like, now I don't mean go rack up a credit card and like go crazy, but like you have to trust that when you're investing or you're doing something that it's going to come back. And it just made me realize like how far I've come with my scarcity mindset. And again, like some of that's rooted in things I experienced in my childhood. And I know I still have a long ways to go, but I think I'm finally to the point where I can say this statement, self-identify and like understand it and believe it and start to move forward.
Number 12, simply asking can get you what you want.
Oh, I like this one.
So I don't know. Like I've always believed in this and I've talked about it in the past, you know, when it comes up in different contexts, but there have been so many instances in my life where I just asked for what I wanted. And I think that 2021 had a lot of great examples of just asking for what we wanted. When we wanted introductions or sponsorships or, you know, financial opportunities or whatever it was.
Products.
Like when we just ask for support, you know, just even just asking, like follow our journey. That is an ask. And people have shown up. And it's been incredible getting to go on this journey with the people who have shown up. And so I think that it's just a really good reminder that like people can't read your mind. Mm-hmm. If you want something, ask for it.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And like sometimes when I'm like, oh my gosh, like our stuff, we're not getting a lot of YouTube subscribers anymore. Like we've plateaued. The first thing I ask myself is like, well, are we still asking or are we assuming? And 9 times out of 10, it's assuming. And I'm like, okay, well, it's time to ask. So I think that's a really good one. 13, it's okay to slow down and it's important too. And this is relevant in a lot of aspects of life for me, but I think like overall for us, we're finally in a stage with our traveling that we're slowing down for the first time. Like instead of moving every 3 to 5 days, moving every week, we're starting to settle in an area for a longer amount of time and then more specifically stay at a campground for a longer amount of time. And we live in such a hustle bustle world. Like it's been that way. It's the burnout culture. Like everyone's sick of it and you can identify that you're sick of it. Like that's one part, but then to actually follow through and actually slow down is the other piece of it. Yeah. And so I'm just proud of us for getting to that spot. And then like, even for me personally with this ADHD journey I've been on, which we'll talk about in another episode, I've had to tell myself to slow down. Like, I've had to force myself to slow down, and I don't like it. It doesn't feel good, but it's necessary. And when I slow down, I get clarity. So, like, it's just a constant reminder in multiple ways. Like, it's okay to, like, for us to stop recording everything. Like, we hit a point where we're like, yeah, we have a YouTube channel, but, like, we just really want to take in this experience for us because we're tired. And, like, this is a special moment. So that, to me, is, like, a version of slowing down. So that was just like really prominent this year for me in a lot of ways.
Well, and I think like even just, you know, over the holidays, we had a chance to slow down even more, and it was super uncomfortable for a couple days. Like, you and I both were like, are we being lazy or is this just like relaxing?
Is this what relaxing is?
Because honestly, like the way that we operate, we both work all day, and then at night we're either, you know, recording podcasts, recording videos, editing TikToks. Like, there's so much content that we put out on a daily and a weekly basis that it's like you and I basically work day and night and on the weekends. And yes, is it fun? Absolutely. We love doing what we do. Like, that's why we do it. If we didn't, and this journey wasn't serving us anymore, we wouldn't do it. But we love doing it. It's just that it means we're always doing something.
Right. And so you become wired for that. Like, so it's uncomfortable when you slow down.
Yeah. So the first couple days when we were slowing down, we're like, should we be doing more? Or like, how do we more productively relax? And then we're like, okay, maybe we're just broken right now. So I think we've settled into it, and getting the engine started back up might be a little difficult.
Probably, but I think it's like an ebb and flow. Like, there's never a perfect balance. And like, for me, I know I relaxed too much, and now I'm like, okay, here we go. But like, it's just, you figure it out as you go.
Number 14, people aren't one-dimensional.
Ooh, yours are so intriguing. I feel like your titles are intriguing, and mine are like, do things you hate. It's good for you.
So obviously, gosh, I don't know. This has just been like one of the weirdest seasons of humanity, it feels like. And I think that our differences have just come out left and right, and, you know, really have caused a lot of rifts between people. And I just, maybe it's been like this in the past, I've just never felt it before, but I think one thing that you and I are constantly reminded of is that people are not one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. You know, just because they believe X does not mean they believe Y. Just because they believe this way or that way doesn't mean that they are a good person or a bad person. I just think that we've seen it over and over and over again that we make assumptions based on what we think someone probably believes, and then they surprise us, and then we're like, oh yeah, stop being a judgy asshole.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you hear, like, at least for me, like, if I'm being fully honest, I'm trying to get better about this, but it has become like this polarized black or white thinking mentality, and it's really hard to turn off once you're there. So I've caught my brain like trying to scan and filter, like, oh, if they mention XYZ,
right,
it means all of this,
right?
And
yes,
like, then
exactly.
I already have them in this bucket.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. Is you take one belief and then you create this story about who this person is based on this one belief and the probability that they believe, you know, all of these other things. And we've been proven wrong consistently, like throughout the entire year.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's really unfair when you think about it, because when you start storytelling, you make up this narrative and then you have these feelings toward them that maybe aren't even just, like, you don't know. And like, that wouldn't feel good if someone did that to us, you know?
Well, and I was just thinking, like, that's one of our fears, is that people will make assumptions about us that aren't true.
Yeah.
And that they don't take the time to understand us or talk to us or whatever. And then our minds just do it anyway. And part of it is, you know, the human mind loves to have concrete answers. And so when there's not an answer, when there's a question mark or an unknown, we love to fill in the blank. And, you know, we've just been proven wrong so many times this past year where we're filling in the blank wrong, and it doesn't do us any good.
That's a really good one. Number 15, generational trauma is a real thing, and you are the one that stops the cycle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I learned about generational trauma for the first time this year. Like, I had experienced it, but I didn't know there was a term for it. And you'll have to Google it because I know I will botch it if I try. But basically, it's the concept that trauma, behaviors, mentalities carry down generation to generation. And I've experienced it. I've witnessed it. I know friends and family that have experienced it. And like, it really sucks because when you think about a generation of trauma that has to be broken somewhere, it would be so much easier for you to be like, well, I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm just going to roll with it because it's uncomfortable and it's painful to like stand up to these things and like draw these boundaries. And man, you just see these people, and I've felt it when you stand in your truth and you draw the boundary and you say, no, like, this is a form of trauma and I'm not going to do it anymore. You get your ass kicked. Truthfully, when it comes to you, like, you have a responsibility to try to end the cycle. At least that's how I feel. And so that's something I learned about this year that I didn't even know was a thing. And I think it's really important to have awareness about.
Yeah. Like, just a quick idea of like generational trauma was like, well, my dad treated me this way because his dad treated him this way.
Yeah.
Right. So like, that's what we mean by generational trauma, is it's something that's well, passed down through generations. Number 16. This one we've kind of covered a little bit already, but relationships matter and there's a season for all of them.
Yeah.
And so that kind of goes along with your idea of letting go of things that no longer serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if those things are relationships.
Yeah. I agree.
The end.
That was, yeah. Okay, moving on. Number 17. Others can often see the beauty within you before you can see it yourself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so this one came to me because I think, like, I know I've done this and I've seen other people do it, that we're so fucking hard on ourselves. Like, we are so, like, I look like shit today. Like, oh my God, my face is broken out. Like, my teeth are yellow, or like, I have a wrinkle. And I am a vain person. Like, I will admit, I'm just a vain person. I like to look good. That's how I am. But I was so hyper focused in that. I think it was like 2 years ago. I don't know. But I used to like edit the fuck out of all of my pictures. And I don't know that I've ever talked about that. But there was this picture editing app and you could like smooth all your face and like add makeup. And you can tell when people use those filters. And like, I get it, because I was so insecure about how it looked that I was like, yeah, I don't know if you remember that. Like, before we would ever post a picture, I was like, don't post that. Like, I need to edit it.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember. There are plenty of pictures I took that you looked great and you were like, I look like hell, why would you ever take that picture? And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking
about. Like, when I think about how like obsessive I was about that compared to where I am now, and it's the same for like, it's not only just external beauty, but like qualities about yourself. Like, we're just so hard on ourselves. And I thought of it because apparently this is like word of affirmation week for Courtney, because you've just been saying like the sweetest things that you appreciate about me as a person and like my values. And I'm like, oh yeah, that is really cool. Or like, that is really nice. And it happens on Instagram or social media. They'll say like, I admire this about you or whatever. Like, I appreciate this about you. And like, I don't know what is, if it's just my brain or if it's like everyone's brains, that I don't see it in myself, but other people see it. And so like, I was just thinking about that, how like, I'll throw a filter setting on our pictures to like make it have a certain vibe, but it's not like blurring out imperfections or like doing any of that. And like, I don't know, I just think like people can identify the beauty in you before you can. So try to find the beauty yourself, but also listen when those things come in.
We just today, when we were going through our pictures to try to find all of our 2021 wins together, I found a picture and I was like, damn, you look really good in this picture, babe. And she was like, it's, oh yeah, I definitely filtered everything. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I was going to say, you look like you're like 20.
Flawless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 18, new experiences can completely rejuvenate your spirit.
Ooh.
I feel like when I was writing this one down, I feel like it's breaking like a layer of clay off of you. Experiencing new things breaks you out of a rut and it allows you to really enjoy things again the way you did when you were a kid, when everything is new and everything is the first time, right? Like our journey around the U.S. this past year, once we got more comfortable with the RV lifestyle and we stopped having to focus so much on how to just basically exist in an RV full time,
right,
we really got to take in the different experiences we were having. And it's been incredible. And it just feels like I feel like I'm a totally different human than I was a year ago.
Same.
Because we're going to so many places and we're doing so many things. And it's just like, it's you peel off the dullness of life and there's this like bright, vibrant spirit underneath still. So I think that experiencing new things, not only does it build your confidence, but it also, I think, just like rejuvenates you as a human. So if you're feeling like life is dull, A, COVID, but also B, like try new experiences in a safe way. And, you know,
use protection.
Well, that took a turn I did not expect. But yeah, so it just really can create a whole new life within a matter of months, honestly. I mean, when you start experiencing new things and looking from a different lens, you really just can create a whole new existence.
I love that one. I star that. Big star. Number 19, you sometimes learn the most from the people who annoy you the most.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there's a couple of layers to this. So layer one, when I'm trying to learn something, I often will watch a video of someone, and if they annoy me right away, I'm like, nope, I'm done. Like, I'm moving on to like find someone who I resonate with, which I don't think is a bad thing. But I realized that there were some players in the game that I needed their help, and they were like the expert of their fields, and they absolutely annoy the fuck out of me. Like, so hard. But I realized that was my ego. Like, that was my ego and that was me. And I was like, if I can table this and I can get through this and give it a chance, and if I can actually learn things that are valuable to helping us grow our business, then it's worth it. Right. And so I like had this experience, and every time I get off the live, Beth would be like, how'd it go? I was like, they're so annoying. They're so annoying. But this is what I learned, and I've implemented some of these things and seen the ROI from it, the return on investment. And then so I was like, okay, well, if I can do this in this part of my life, like, can I do this here? And so same thing. I started listening to this podcast. The voice annoyed the hell out of me. It still does. Like, every time I go to listen to it, I have to like calibrate my body because there's just something I don't like about their voice. But again, if I get through it, there's some powerful lessons in it. And so like for me, I think it goes along with like that stubbornness values shift that, yeah, sometimes people are really annoying. But like if you, and I'm sure there's deeper work I need to do there, like they annoy me because it's a reflection of me, I don't know. But if you can like tough it out and acknowledge that it's not perfectly what you wanted from the experience, but you can still pull value from it, I think that's the lesson.
Number 20, taking care of your body is number one. And I know that we touched on this a little bit earlier, but what I'm speaking to specifically in this instance is there have been a couple times this year where you and I were both taken down by a back injury.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it just absolutely wrecks your quality of life.
Yeah.
And so I don't care how annoying it is. I mean, when my back went out, I had to, like, first of all, I thought I legit may have broken a vertebrae because...
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Yeah. We were in New Mexico because my mom has really, really bad osteoporosis. And over the past year and a half now, I think, she has had 6 vertebrae break. Vertebra? What's the plural of that?
Vertebrae. Like,
so,
no S, just vertebrae.
Yeah, so her back is basically crumbling, which is really sad, and it sucks to watch her go through it, but she's had 4 surgeries on 5 broken vertebrae. She's got another broken one right now. So anyway, all that to say, osteoporosis runs in our family. All of us need to be very cognizant of making sure our bone density is where it needs to be, etc. So you know, I'm headed toward my mid-30s and...
Mid-30s is universal back problems. I don't care what you say. I've seen so many TikToks and so many memes that's like, mid-30s, can't get out of bed. Yeah, same.
But that's because like we're used to not having to be intentional about taking care of our bodies. We're just used to our youthfulness.
Yeah, I like, loved that time yeah, of my life.
Didn't we all? So basically, I injured my back. I think I was just doing like a sit-up or something in a workout
program.
You were
doing yoga.
Oh, yeah. I was doing yoga. That's even dumber.
It's not dumb. It just makes it more frustrating.
It is absolutely dumb that I injured my back doing yoga. So anyway, I was like, hey, mom, what does it feel like when your vertebra is broken? So anyway, it wasn't broken. Spoiler
alert.
Thank
you. Yeah.
But it did take me, it was a muscle injury slash, I guess, like, tweak in my back, and I went to a chiropractor and I ended up needing to just like rehab myself. So I did yoga in the morning and at night every single day until I could do normal things again. But like I couldn't even, just the motion from trying to sit up from laying down for whatever reason just wrecked my back during that time period. So it just was such a reminder. And like I used to know this because I played hockey for 18 years, so I've injured nearly every part of my body. I know that an injury can absolutely wreck your quality of life and just make you miserable for most of your waking hours. But I haven't injured myself like that in quite a while, and so that back injury was, again, a reminder, like, you're not invincible. Slow down and take care of yourself. Like, it doesn't matter what else you think needs to get done. If you don't take care of your body... like, you're going to be miserable when you do things like this, where you're doing gentle yoga and you tweak your back wrong or whatever. So anyway, I learned that from my experience, but also the time that your back, for whatever reason, seized up by the fire in Georgia.
Well, we know why that happened. I tried pre-workout for the first time before a run and like fucking booked it like Superman. I was like, that's the fastest I've ever ran before. And I wasn't stretching when I was running at the time. And then I bent over to pick up weights that were too heavy.
Yeah. So, you ran for 5 days straight after not doing any physical activity. Then you took pre-workout, ran even faster, and then came back and you're like, yeah, I can move these. And I was like, babe, don't move those. And you picked up like a 20-pound weight. 25-pound weight, like at an awkward angle. I was like, don't do that. And then you were like, oh, that felt weird. But you were like still high on pre-workout. So then later your back just like seized up and you laid face down at the fire pit. And I was like, do you need me to help you? Like, this looks awkward. And you're like, no, just leave me. Just leave me. And I'm like, okay, people now are walking by like wondering why I'm not helping you because you're face down by the fire pit. So that then ended up being like, you know, the next day was our travel day and you couldn't do anything. I had to pack up the whole trailer by myself. I had to hook it up by myself, haul us to our next site. You were literally in the back seat because you couldn't even sit upright. You were laying down in the back seat. And that was, again, a reminder that, like, you know, we're mid-30s. We don't need to roll like this.
Yeah.
So that was my number 20, is your body's number one. Take care of it.
That's a good one. All right, drum roll, please. I actually have two, and I'm torn.
Of course.
So I'm probably just going to read them both. Okay, 21, lower and keep your expectations at the same time. There's a balance.
Ooh.
Yes. And so I self-identify that I have very high expectations, and I think sometimes that's okay. But Beth has been telling me for years, and I think we mentioned this in another podcast episode, is like, just lower your expectations and you won't be disappointed. And so...
which, that, as a blanket statement, that sounds like a very terrible life advice.
Yeah.
But it was because things kept happening where you're like, why can't they just do XYZ? Why can't they just be good at their job? Why can't they just... And I was like, just lower your expectation. And then when they are good at their job, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And so I think there is, like, blanket statement, terrible advice.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think there is some truth to it. And I think there also is truth to having high expectations in other places. And so, like, it's not black and white. It's not either or. It's both, and like knowing when to have which mindset. And it's really confusing to navigate sometimes, but I think it's really helpful, which actually transitions into 21B, we'll call it.
How about we say this is the bonus tip going into 2022?
Okay, get it? That
the
sounds
22nd
better.
One.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't following, but I understand now. Okay, so number 22 going into 2022, acknowledging things that happen as a flow are less painful. So when something happens, yeah, your face is confused. I'm happy to explain. It kind of goes back to that comment earlier that someone said to me. And instead of like letting it sit and ruminate and fester and like become this big issue, I've learned as someone who has big emotions, like I used to not be able to let shit go. Like I would have to analyze it and like just dig deep. And I'm at this space in my life and this year specifically where when I get upset, I still acknowledge it because I've said this a million times before. You have to acknowledge your emotions. You can't bottle them away on a shelf. But there's also like this difference between acknowledging and holding, acknowledging, addressing, processing, and letting it go. So I would say like finally, I'm about to be 34. I'm finally out of space in my life. Not everything, but with most things that bother me, I can get through it so much quicker. And I just acknowledge, like I wrote flow because I acknowledge that it's like flowing through, it's passing through. And I have that power to like keep it moving and let it pass. Whereas I haven't always had that way of looking at it. Like I would honestly say the latter half of 2021 is where I really started to like acknowledge things in this way. And when you can like get through that process so much quicker, again, I'm not saying go around it. Like you have to feel it, you have to acknowledge it. But if you can like let it flow through so much quicker, it's way less painful and time consuming.
I will give you double bonus high fives because I think you've done a really great job at that.
Yeah.
This year.
And it's not everything. Like there's still some big things I'm working on, but like the fact that probably 80% of it now can flow through, whereas it used to be like 5% could flow through. I think that's an improvement. So
major improvement.
When things pop up, just acknowledge it's flowing through. It'll pass. What can I do to help it pass?
My oh my.
That was so good. We didn't even have, like we had some that were similar, but nothing was the same.
Nothing completely overlapped.
Go us.
Yeah. That was fun. And I think reflecting on 2021, yes, there was a lot of pain and heartache and challenge and struggles, but at the same time, I think if you look for the good, you can always find something that you can learn from and or cherish that happened.
This made me feel better that we couldn't complete our list of wins. I feel like this knowledge within itself was a form of a win, so I vote we go get a coffee and not finish our win list.
I am on board for that game plan. Thank you for joining us on today's episode. As always, take what's helpful, leave the rest. Come over and connect with us on any of our social platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook. If you're looking for helpful RV tips, check out our free crash course over at lifewithbethancourt.com. We send you 2 weeks of free tips for full-time RV living straight to your inbox. Until next time, friends, keep building your best life.
Bye, guys.